The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought before him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all of his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell to his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Having pity on him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused and went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in his anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father in heaven will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. I'm going to switch our view on our Zoom link so I can see some of the kids out there. How are you doing? Good. I see that you're there. Awesome. So, today in our gospel lesson, Jesus tells us, well, tells Peter, when Peter says, how many times should we forgive? Seven times. And if you can see in this bag, I have seven M&Ms. That many times, he's asking, should we forgive this many times? But what Jesus tells Peter is no. You need to forgive this many times. Just so we can get an idea of how many times that is. Try to get this together. That's that many times. 77. I counted them out. 77 M&Ms. That's a lot of times. Do you think God forgives us 77 times? Sorry, I haven't had breakfast yet. Now it's like 73 times. Oh, I shouldn't be eating in front of you. I am so sorry. Can you forgive me? They're just so delicious. But I'm sorry, once again, please forgive me because eating in front of you is not polite and I shouldn't do that unless I can share. But what God is telling us, that with those 77 times, even more so, even the seven times, God's not even done there. because God forgives us like this many times. That's a lot of M&Ms. And thank goodness I can't eat all those, because then I'd be sick. But anyway, but God forgives us this many times. And if we could actually fill up this whole sanctuary with M&Ms, it still wouldn't be the amount of times God forgives us. So God is asking us to forgive as many times as we can. And then when we get upset again, keep on forgetting and forgiving. Not forgetting, forgiving. Keep forgiving as much as we can, because that's what God does. God forgives us always when we ask for that forgiveness. I'm going to put these down so they don't spill. And let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for today. We thank you that you always forgive us, no matter what, for the things that we've done in the past, for the things that we currently are doing, even the stuff we do in the future. Lord, help us to ask for forgiveness when we know we do something wrong, and help others to forgive us when we ask for that forgiveness, so that we can forgive as you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord and Father to you this day. Amen. So if you have followed me on my Facebook page, you might have seen that Missy and I, on our vacation, went hiking. And that's one of the things that we do during our vacation time. It's something that we join. We always look forward to doing. We go to state parks or any other place that might have hiking trails or walking paths. And when we first started hiking, at least myself, I paid a lot of attention to where I was stepping, because I'm like really allergic to poison ivy, and I could just get near it and it jumps on me. I swear it does. But I was always very careful where I was placing my feet to take the next step, to avoid any dangers, but also to get the best walking experience, I guess, I could find. But then there were some times on our hike that if you always are looking down, you miss what's going on around you. So you have to stop and look up. And this was one picture that I took when we were going through Brown County State Park. And it was very interesting to me because something devastating happened there. But this tree, it was like two trees that started growing together. And then during this trauma of whatever happened, this storm, they split in two different directions. And then there's this other tree coming up in the next picture that you can tell was cut off at one certain point. But if you look very carefully at the top where it was severed, life, new life began. It started to grow new branches at the top of that point. So it's really hard when we're walking and we're looking down, we're keeping our attention to what we need. And even if we do stop and look up a little bit and see what's going on around us, even then, when we are on the forest path, attentive to what is going around us, it's challenging to remember that we are part of this vast creation. We miss the bigger picture when we pay attention only to what's below us or around us, without remembering the vastness of God's creation and the incredible creation God has put around us. All right, so come on back to church. Before you go make plans to go outdoors and get some fresh air, we still have some more church worshiping to do. In last week's sermon, I hope you took away that reconciliation happens with forgiveness. within forgiveness. And for the health of the church, the health of the community, we need to persistently pursue those who sin against us and forgive them. This is the model of our God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior, God is persistently pursuing us and all of God's children, inviting and welcoming us into the body of Christ to be community with one another and all creation. Well, today we get this parable of the unforgiving servant. A parable, not an analogy. Parables are meant to surprise us with incredible grace and startle us with reflective truth. Reflective truth as we see it in our lives. What we are part of is something bigger than ourselves. And what we do with the vast amount of grace we are given makes a difference in the lives of people and the creation around us. This parable is full of hyperbole. Not so much in Jesus answering Peter's question on how often we should forgive, 7 times versus 77. But the hyperbole in this parable explains the amount of debt the slave has been forgiven. So let's break this open just a little bit. This wicked slave, first let's clarify something. This term slave is distracting, if not even upsetting. Yet in Greco-Roman times, when an emperor would conquer a new territory, they would enslave the occupants of that territory. And there were always incredibly smart, intelligent people working for the previous empire, but the victorious new emperor would bring them on to continue and command the tasks that they had normally done under the old regime. So the hyperbole comes into play with the debt that this wicked slave, let's call him Jeff. Sorry to all the Jeffs out there. This is just the first name that popped into my head. Jeff owed his lord 10,000 talents. Now the fellow slave, let's call him Matt. He owed Jeff 100 denarii. So to wrap our brains around this, one denarii was worth about one day of work. Matt could work 200 days, keep half of his wages to live on, and give the other half to Jeff. And in less than a year, his debt would be paid off. Now, one talent is worth from anywhere 6,000 to 10,000 denarii. Now, some of you might be having seventh grade math class flashbacks. Hang on. One talent is worth 6,000 denarii. One denarii is worth one day of work. So at the bottom end, one talent is worth 6,000 days of work. But Jeff owed his Lord 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. That's an incredible amount. Not sure what department Jeff was in charge of in his empire, but probably the military, but otherwise. But that means Jeff owed his Lord wages of 60 million days of work. Starting to get the picture? 60 million days of work is 184,615 years. Even if Jeff had 8 children, and him and his wife, they all worked every day and gave all of their wages to their Lord, it would have taken him and his whole family of 10 working 307 lifetimes based on a 60-year lifespan and not including inflation. The hyperbolic point here is, how can someone who has been forgiven so much, such a vast amount, someone forgiven so immensely, not turn to their fellow co-worker, student, teacher, spouse, Christian, Muslim, Judean, brother or sister, and offer grace and forgiveness? In our psalm today, we hear of God's promise of forgiveness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all of our diseases, who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You will not always accuse us, nor will you keep your anger forever. We heard in our first reading today about Joseph forgiving his brothers. You might remember, these are the guys who took Joseph's robe because it was a robe because it had sleeves. But they knew that Jacob liked him the best. And they took his robe and they threw him in a pit and they sold him into slavery. And after splashing blood on his robe, reported to Jacob, their father, that Joseph was attacked and probably killed by wild animals. We see that when given the chance to really repay his brothers for what they did, instead, Joseph wept when they talked to him. He wept when they asked for his forgiveness. Shoot, they were all weeping by the time the passage ended. Joseph and his brothers were connected through the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit in the love of God. In our second reading, Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "We do not live to ourselves and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's." Why? If we are forgiven so much, not only now and in the past, and the promise goes on forever, from the east to the west, we will be separated from our transgressions. Why don't we forgive? Because it's downright hard to do. I have this story that I always go back to because maybe I haven't forgiven this person yet. I don't know. I try to. Missy and I were a young couple, and we loved camping. But after camping with two little girls in a tent, we knew after Connor came along, we didn't want to do that anymore. Well, a friend of ours, someone I worked with, had a camper for sale. And it was old. It was in pretty bad shape. He was only asking $300 for it. It was a pop-up camper. So we looked at it. When we went to look at it, it wasn't popped up all the way, but we thought, it's $300. So we got it home, wrote a check, gave it to him, got it home, popped it all the way up. Well, there was dry rot all the way around the top of the pop-up camper. So it all had to be replaced. And it was something that the only reason we bought it was because it was only $300, and that's all we could afford. We couldn't afford anything else. So we called the friend up and said, "Hey, we're bringing the camper back." And he goes, "No, you're not." I said, "Well, we already put stop payment on the check. We're bringing it back." Later on, he threatened to take me to small claims court for wasting his time. And after giving him an extra $100, we actually gave him the camper, stop payment, but he asked for $100 or he would take us to small claims court. So I paid him for that. Then he put it on eBay and sold it for $500. Forgiveness is hard because there's times where I start thinking about camping and boom, that camper is right back in my face. There's times where I'm falling asleep and for some reason I think about camping and right there again is all that rage and anger, frustration. And I have to remind myself, you forgave that person. Remember, you forgave that person. And I realized if I don't share the forgiveness God has poured upon us, we are bound to that moment. We are stuck in that situation. We are looking right down on the path and not paying attention to anything going on around us. If we do keep looking down on that path. We are not able to see the great invitation to live life to the full, which is offered to us within the creation God has given us. Not forgiving is like playing in a child's sandbox on the world's largest beach. We limit ourselves in a small corner of the world, and our lives reflect a limited grace that we gravitate towards because it's easier for us to manage and understand. We get stuck in only a minuscule part of life when God has so much more love for us. Our psalm continues, "For as the heavens are as high above the earth, so great is your steadfast love for those who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, and so far you have removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so you have compassion for those who love you, O Lord." Dr. Catherine Schifferdecker, OT professor at Lutheran Seminary, offers this story of forgiveness. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian woman who was imprisoned in the Ravensbrück concentration camp for hiding Jews in her home. She lost her beloved sister at the camp, but after the war, she traveled around Europe preaching the Christian gospel of forgiveness and reconciliation. She writes of an encounter with a former guard from Ravensbrück, whom she recognized. She recognized him at a talk she was given at a German church in 1947. He came up to her afterwards, told her that he had become a Christian, that he knew God had forgiven him, but he wanted to ask her for forgiveness. He held out his hand, but she felt nothing but anger for him. Ten Boom writes, "And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me," I prayed silently. "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out before me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, "with all my heart." For a long moment, we grasped each other's hand, the former guard and the former prisoner, and I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Dr. Schifferdecker goes on, "Forgiveness is hard, really hard. But the good news is that where God calls, God also equips. God gives us in Christ the gift of forgiveness and helps us to share that gift with others. And in doing so, God opens doors that are shut. God opens a future that is shut. By forgiving those who have sinned against us, we do not allow the past to dictate our future. Forgiveness breaks the chains of anger and bitterness and frees us to live new lives." If we ever needed to hear the story of forgiveness, we need it in 2020. It's been an exhausting year. And you may have seen some of the memes out there that actually show how exhausting it is. I think one of my favorites is the one that says, "I can't believe the most normal thing in 2020 is the Tiger King." Yet I think the year 2020 will live up to its name by showing us clearly with 2020 vision where we need to forgive and where we need to ask forgiveness for our choices that have led us to the brink of global warming, leading to polar ice caps melting, water levels rising, out of control fires, and climate change. Led us to political unrest and a polarized society. Have led us to racial injustice, food inequality, and the list goes on. You know you're living it. God's grace and forgiveness is assured, and our salvation is complete. Yet we are so distracted by the sins of one another, we are playing in a sandbox on the beach. Knowing God is a for-reconciling forgiveness God. I wish to say that the hyperbole in our message extends to Jesus' statement at the end of the text today. So my heavenly Father will also do the same to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Yet it feels that we are being tortured right now. Hear this. God is not behind these horrible things happening in the world. But my question is, have we allowed them to happen in the choices that we have made? We have made some poor choices, but those choices can be remade. God is the promise of love that we have. God is inviting us to begin anew. We have a lot of work to do, but God always provides a way. We can fight climate change by limiting our use of fossil fuels. We can become better educated to fight racial justice. We can become more involved fighting food inequality and hunger by walking in the hunger hike, if nothing else. We can fight this political polarization by reaching out and thrusting our hands into the hands of the other and forgiving or asking for forgiveness. God has entrusted this creation that God made, and all life to us. And it's time we start loving as God loves us. Amen.